The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8, and it starts halfway through verse 42, and it's on page 1038 of the Church Bible. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. He then said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. Well, I'm really sorry that St. George's got the bishop and you get me, but thank you for coming anyway. For those who don't know, I'm Lynn, married to Tom, and we've got three children, the youngest of whom is now nearly 16. One of the great joys of children getting older is you no longer have to organise children's birthday parties. Now, Tom's an optimist and full of energy, and I would describe myself more as a lazy pessimist. So a lot of our party planning involved arguments or discussions. What sort of things should we do? Tom usually wanted something really ambitious, relying heavily on fine weather. And I'm advocating, no, let someone else do it. Have it indoors, but not in our house. Undoubtedly, our most memorable party was Holly's 9th birthday. The plan was to go for a meal out at a restaurant and then, hopefully with fine weather, go and play some games on Box Hill. So being seasoned professionals now, 16 years of experience, we were well prepared. We had the wet weather plan B, going back to our house for indoor games. But to avoid the mayhem this would undoubtedly leave behind, I was fervently praying for fine weather. The day came, the sun shone, my prayers were answered, I was happy. That was the first stage. So, on to the next thing. What happened next? Well, it didn't quite end up as planned. As many of you know, I managed to somehow break my leg, tripping over a tree root, playing in the fine sunny weather on Box Hill. So it just goes to show that sometimes it's best not to have your prayers answered. Today's theme is Jesus, the one who heals. So we've had a rather flippant introduction, but I want to acknowledge now that it is a difficult and hard subject. And in many ways, I feel inadequate to talk about it, standing here in front of many of you who I know have been through or are currently going through really hard times. So I pray that what I say, God will take and fill it with his grace and his love, so that each of you can receive it in the way that he wants to speak to you. So Jesus, the one who heals, I wonder what that phrase brings to your mind. Or if I asked you, have you ever been healed? What would you think about? Do you automatically think about miraculous healings with excitement and enthusiasm because you've seen or experienced one and you want more? Or maybe with skepticism or disappointment because you haven't? Well, I'd like to suggest that we all have experienced healing, and in fact, we continually do so. The story of my broken leg is one example. There wasn't a miraculous, instantaneous healing, but my leg has healed. Healing is present naturally within all of our bodies. Cells repair themselves, skin which has been cut or blistered regrows, broken bones knit together, white blood cells fight off bacteria and viruses. We take it for granted because it's just part of everyday life. But if we stop to think, actually the body's self-healing mechanisms are remarkable. The psalmist did stop to think about it, and it led him to praise God. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do we stop to reflect, not just on the wonders of this inbuilt healing within our bodies, but more deeply, what does this say about the one who designed them? As we think about this topic, I think we need to start by acknowledging that the way God has designed our bodies reveals something of his nature as the one who not only creates us, but the one who heals us. So I've said that healing doesn't necessarily mean the miraculous. It's better seen as a continuum from the mundane and yet extraordinary workings of our bodies to the scientifically inexplicable miracle. But the source of it all is God. We're very fortunate to live in a time and society we have the additional blessing of modern medical science. And again, as Christians, we acknowledge that it's God who lies behind these discoveries. However, we are all painfully aware that there are still many diseases and conditions, physical and mental, which not even the wonders of modern medical science can solve. So it's at this point as Christians that we look to God for miraculous intervention. But what if it doesn't come? How do we deal with the difficult fact that our experience now is so different from what we see in the New Testament, where Jesus goes around performing one miraculous healing after another? Well, we could just ignore it, not really think too deeply about it, pretend it doesn't exist or it doesn't matter. Or we could try to explain it away with some simplistic reasoning. Well, it's because things are different now. Jesus healed, yes, and some of his first followers, but it's all stopped now. Or no, miraculous healing does still happen. Look at what's happening in Africa or at that latest mega healing conference in the USA or wherever. But we don't see it here in Ashtead because we're not doing it right. We don't have enough faith. We're not praying in the right way. We've got hidden, unconfessed sins. We're not seeking the Holy Spirit hard enough. In my view, all these responses are inadequate. But how should we respond? What can we say about healing in the Bible? Well, the first thing I'd like to say is that it's noticeable that Jesus' healing ministry was always linked to his preaching ministry, and the emphasis is never on the healings themselves. They're meant to lead people to put their faith in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Secondly, the fact that Jesus did heal people physically is surely significant. He didn't neglect the importance of our physical bodies. He didn't prioritize the body over all else either. But for him, both body and soul mattered. Therefore, surely they should matter to us. And with those thoughts in mind, let's turn to today's passage. No, sorry. Picture. Him, woman. Woman, the picture of the woman touching. Yes, sorry, I haven't been looking. Sorry. So setting the scene, we find Jesus in the midst of his busy ministry, called to go and heal the seriously sick daughter of a local synagogue leader, Jairus. He's on his way, but the crowds are pressing through, and he's interrupted by an unnamed, seemingly unimportant woman, desperately seeking healing. And she receives it just by touching the hem of Jesus' tunic. Well, some of you may remember when Tom preached at our Advent service in December, and he had two fancy Hebrew words relating to justice and righteousness. Does anyone remember them? Look at Mark. Mishpat and Tzedakah. Stay on the stay, stop. When I was preparing my sermon, I was naturally thinking I'm going to have to match that or preferably go one better. So I've got not one, not two, but three words for you in Greek, and they are the three words used for healing in the New Testament. And I'm looking at Nico as well, they are relevant. The most common one is therapeuo. You can see we get therapeutic from it, and it's a general meaning to cure or restore to health. Then we've got iaiomai, which I think says what it is, a sudden, powerful, miraculous healing. And sozo, holistic healing, sometimes translated to be made whole. So why I chose this particular passage is that it demonstrates each of these different three meanings. If we look at the passage, we see that Luke says in verse 43, no one had been able to heal her. And that's therapeuo, the word there. So it's she would have been seeking medical help from the doctors. And then she told, after she had been healed, why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Here am I. And at the end, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Sozo, complete wellness and restoration. So in this story, Luke, who remember was a doctor, seems to want to reveal different layers of meaning which culminate in the woman receiving her complete healing. And it's relevant here to understand that in New Testament times for the Jews, bleeding was one of the things that made a person ritually unclean. So this woman definitely wouldn't have been allowed in the temple. Furthermore, anything she touched or anyone she touched also became unclean. You can see that the implications for her social standing and acceptance within her community were severe. It was a brave thing for her to admit what she'd done, pushing through all the crowd, touching everyone, touching Jesus. But the result was that she received complete healing, sozo. She could now be integrated back into the people of God, socialized with others in the community, join in worship in the temple, as well as receiving healing within her own body. So the word sozo indicates complete restoration. But there's another significant thing about this word sozo. It's the same word that is also translated as save. So in Matthew 1, we see Mary told, you will give birth to a son and call his name Jesus because he will save, sozo, or heal his people from their sins. So we can see that there's a really close link between healing and salvation in the Bible. And this sozo healing is healing of the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Jesus the Saviour is Jesus the healer. And this is what he came to do, what his whole life and death was about, saving people completely from all their sins, all their diseases, all their afflictions, ultimately from death itself. And now this salvation healing is, in sort of posh theological terms, eschatological. I think that's another Greek word. We can begin to enjoy it now, but its full impact and blessing will only be received and experienced when Jesus returns and is made Lord and King of all, or if we pass from this life to the next before that happens. It's really important as Christians to be honest about this. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean all our troubles disappear. We live in what some people term the in-between times. We know that Jesus has died. He's defeated death, sickness, and sin. But we haven't got yet to the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation. We see glimpses of God's kingdom breaking through. I believe that God can still miraculously heal, and I've heard first-hand testimonies. But I've also had heartfelt prayers for healing unanswered. So where does this leave us? I think we're left with the question, why? It's innately human to ask why. In our Western modern society, we expect and want to get logical cause and effect answers to all of our why questions. So if I do A, I know that B will happen. And if I want to get to Y, I know that I have to do X. But this isn't God's way. God is mystery. He's inexplicable. Ancient civilizations and some non-Western societies today have a different mindset, and they are better at living with this mystery. It's just really hard for us in our society to live with these unanswered whys. But God's salvation healing is a gracious gift, full of mystery. We can't control or demand it at will, and there isn't a scientific formula for how to make it happen. It's by grace that we have been saved or healed, sozo, through faith, and this is a gift from God. It's a gift, not something we can demand or manufacture for ourselves or for others. We're still left wondering why. And I'm really sorry, it isn't the answer we want, but we just don't know why, and we won't in this life. If we think back to the image of the child, any parent knows how impossible it can be to answer a small child's why questions when they just don't have the mental capacity to engage with the topic at hand. Is it so surprising then that we, God's little children, his creation, are unable to fully comprehend the mysteries of his plan to save and heal the whole of his creation? So salvation, and therefore healing, which is one part of that salvation, is mysterious, inexplicable, and will not be fully experienced or understood by us in this life. There are, however, some things that I think we can draw out from the Bible. I'm just going to mention three. It's significant to note that the Bible doesn't say certain things about healing. It never says Jesus didn't heal anyone because he didn't want to, because he didn't love them, because they're not good enough, holy enough, important enough. If you're struggling with a tough experience of unanswered prayers for healing, I encourage you to focus on what the Bible does say about God, who he is, how he loves us, how we are his precious children. You might be thinking about the link between healing and faith. In our reading, Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved or healed you." And the presence of faith often does seem to play a role in healing. But sometimes, in some of Jesus' healings, it's not mentioned at all. And it's Jesus who initiates the healing. There's no indication what the person who receives it was thinking. We can also say that there's no instance in the Gospels of any individual not receiving healing because they, or those bringing them, couldn't drum up enough individual faith. There is one occasion we're told about where a general communal environment lacking in faith had an impact. Tellingly, it occurred in Jesus' hometown Nazareth, which we heard about last week from the other bishop. There, Jesus was met with skepticism and rejection. And this indicates that in a communal environment where Jesus is not honoured or recognised for who he is, this can in some way hinder God's healing power. I think there's a reverse and positive side to this, where there is a particular environment of collective faith and belief, where Jesus is honoured and recognised, it can release God's healing power. And I think this is what we see at gatherings such as New Wine. Is there a link between sickness and sin? There's a lot in the Bible that seems to imply a link between them, but to understand it, we have to remember that in ancient Israel, sickness or any misfortune was seen as coming from God as a punishment for sin. The important thing to note is that in the New Testament, Jesus challenged this and refuted it. But he also goes on to say that everyone is a sinner and needs to repent and be saved. As we start drawing to an end, I'd like to look at how we can practically respond to all of this. The Bible shows us that Jesus is the one who heals. Jesus is the one who saves. The need for his healing and saving is just as great today as it was then. His disciples and others in the early church carried on the work after he was gone. We are part of that same church. We are now Jesus' body on earth. So how can we faithfully fulfill our calling to carry on his work? I'd like to suggest it's not as dramatic and scary as it might sound, and we've all got a part to play. Are you a natural evangelist? Well, remember that sozo, salvation, healing, includes healing of the soul. So preach the good news, witness to who Jesus is. To do this is to share in the healing ministry of Jesus. Not an evangelist? Well, remember that salvation, sozo, healing is holistic. It involves drawing in, caring for, including those who've been excluded and marginalised. To do this is to share in the healing ministry of Jesus. Are you more of a hands-on, practical person? Well, remember the therapeuo healing, serving people, caring practically for their needs. To do this is also to share in the healing ministry of Jesus. You might be sitting there thinking, what about the yayamai? Well, if you feel drawn to the powerful supernatural healing, yeah, I know we're at St. Giles and not St. George's, but it's relevant here too. Our church does believe in the active use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. If you feel that God has given you this gift, or maybe you're sitting here thinking, maybe he has that for me, well, ask, be open. Ask also for gifts of faith and discernment, which are so necessary for the effective and proper use of the supernatural gift of healing. And pray for opportunities to use those gifts to take part in the healing ministry of Jesus, always remembering to focus on the holistic salvation that this supernatural healing is a part of. so to end. Remember that God is our creator and he's also our healer. He's made our bodies in a remarkable way. Healing is naturally built in. We all receive a measure of this healing every day. He enables humans to develop ways to enhance our natural healing. And sometimes he intervenes in miraculous ways to bring supernatural healing. Let's recognize all of those things whenever we see them and give God thanks for them. And remember that healing in this life is only one aspect of salvation, the full sozo healing salvation that God wants each of us to receive, and which one day will surely be ours. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Amen.